this is closer for you than it is for me. So do you remember sort of what group you belonged to in high school? Clearly you all do. Because you elicited that nervous laughter just to think back. Oh, gosh. Right? So it was way back for me, right? But for me it was, mostly geek. So, which I know shocks all of you immensely. I really was totally geeky. Despite, you know, my senior year lettering in three sports, and you know, I was never the jock at all. And but let me ask you a question: did any of you sort of pull the reboot during college? Gone to a sort of a different place, a different level, just a different feeling, right? I mean, always sort of in that nervous, awkward stage for me, and you know, then I got to college and like found my competitive fire, you know, and I don't know what that was about. Maybe it was just a group of people I was hanging out with who just, they didn't really, but it was just, I opened up and I was a lot different. I felt like it was like that reboot, you know, every time comic books want to redo a story arc or do something, they just have some event that reboots everything and changes everything. So, and we might want to think that this is just, that was just high school, and now we get past that, and we're not going to have to worry about which group we belong to, right? Except there have been numerous studies that people want to just put ourselves into groups, define it. So there was this one study that I read about. They took people who lived in like the same neighborhood, same kind of neighborhood, the same kind of salary, the same kind of work, and they put them all together, and wouldn't you know it, but one of the first things they start doing is finding ways, even within that incredibly homogenous group, to make differences and put you into camps. And that's way, you know, it really has nothing to do with whether it's high school and being put in the camps, or it's partly about this fallen world and the way we live as fallen human beings. We want differences. We want to separate. We want to make sure that we're with our own. And recently, we've just, even within sort of Christianity, we get it all over the place. So recently, right, especially within, now that election time is here and we're in the nonstop election cycle, that a month or so ago, there was, lots of stuff talking about faith and whatnot, and Rick Santorum was talking about his view on sort of faith and politics, and he made the statement that his was sort of the only way to understand faith in a political context, and if folks didn't see it that way, they just really weren't serious Christians. He drives a wedge in there. Plenty of folks out there who want to say, because we don't, we don't do adult baptisms, or we don't hold to a particular dogma, as in that the Bible is the inspired and inerrant word of God, that we're not real Christians, or maybe we don't speak in tongues, so we're not real Christians, or we do all these sorts of things that begin to do it. And you know, we do it in reverse. Oh, those fundamentalists. Oh, those literalists. You know, why don't they just get what Jesus was talking about? We're just humans, fallen human creatures who want to divide and separate. Because it's really important for us. We want to know. We want clarity. We want certainty when it comes to our identity. We got to know where we belong. And we want to know where other folks belong. Maybe that can go back to thinking sort of anthropologically and evolutionary stuff, because if someone wasn't from your tribe, they were a threat. I don't know if that's what it comes from, but there is this inherent sort of distrust of folks who are different. And we'll make you different if you're not really different. We'll find something out. And so today, though, we hear Jesus' words about being the great shepherd, that he knows his sheep. And they know him. Primary to that, he knows his sheep. It's not up to any one group to say who's in and who's out. Because if it is, we're in trouble. There will never, ever be anything resembling any sort of unity within the church. We hear Jesus say, I know my sheep. This one, this Lord of creation, this crucified and resurrected Savior, is the one who knows his sheep. So we might say, well, how do we know who is in, who is out? Does it matter? Does it really matter? I think this opens us up to understand, with this sense of him being the good shepherd, that Christianity is a whole lot like a pasture, and there are different parts of that pasture where different sheep hang out. We have sheep who feel much more drawn to social ministry type things, working for the poor, for the homeless. We feel people who are very, we're the geek sheep over in the corner who care about, you know, theology and biblical languages and those, that I'm still in the geek sheep. So then, you know, but it is a broad place for us to dwell. All right. Today is actually the commemoration of Catherine of Siena, who is the only woman to be granted the title Doctor of the Church by the Roman Catholic Church, right? She was a theologian. Her parents desperately wanted her to be normal. I don't know if any of you have ever had that experience. Oh, can't you just be normal? Maybe it hasn't been said, it's been kind of inferred, right? I get that, I've gotten that. But I love my parents, don't get me wrong, it's just sort of where it is. But so she, though, from a very early age, had visions. She was mystical. She was a mystic. And you know what? It really moved her into this life, a contemplative and activist life, because she wasn't one of those contemplatives who went and locked herself in a cell and stayed there. Which happened to some mystics on their choice. They didn't get locked up on it. But that's, you know, this interior life fed the exterior activist life. And she didn't follow where her parents would have liked her to go. Sometimes Jesus, as our shepherd, takes us to places that we don't know. We get called to places because we know him and we hear his voice. And it strikes something within us about who we are, one of his sheep, and we follow. But again, how do we know? How do we know that Jesus has called us, that is calling to us? How do we know his voice? There are lots of folks, I find God in lots of that sort of places. Maybe, but we continue to remember this promise that Christ calls us in the waters of baptism from the font. Right? That's how he chooses us. That's how he claims us. And there the gospel is not just proclaimed to us, but performed on us as we're washed and cleansed in that water. So that faith may take root. That is at its essence where we hear Christ's voice, in the faith granted to us in the waters of baptism. We may know we are His. Others? Look, if they say they are followers of Christ, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Trust that they're somewhere in that pasture. In the meantime, we continue to hear His voice. We continue to follow Him. He continues to feed us, not just of wonderfully green grass, but of His very self. We sheep are fed by His very person, that we may continue to hear His voice, continue to know that we are His. And from that, to follow wherever He leads us. In the broken places of the world, into the halls of academia, into the unseen future. And we continue to listen for that voice. Thanks be to God. Amen.